Okay, so as I mentioned, we've got junior high and senior high and all of our adults in here tonight. And the reason for that is that we just began a new Bible class session this last week or 2 weeks ago. But we've got our summer series that will be starting in the first Wednesday of June. So we've got 4 Wednesdays kind of here for a short course before we start with our summer series and have our guest speakers coming in. And the summer series this year, I'm excited. The theme of it is Because He Lives. And that's kind of the theme of our life, isn't it? The theme of the Christian life is because He lives. You're a Christian today because He lives. And you live the Christian life today because He lives. So it's an exciting topic for our summer series. So what we're doing the 4 weeks leading up to that is we're talking about 4 things that every Christian needs. And I asked you last week, when you hear that, what do you think are 4 things that every Christian needs? And you mentioned a lot of good ones, and we can't cover all of them, all of the ones that you mentioned as a part of this class. But last week we talked about every Christian needs a faith that holds, not just a faith. You got to have faith in order to become a Christian. But every Christian needs a faith that holds. A faith that's going to hold you through whatever comes in your life. And so tonight's our second class, and tonight we're going to talk about every Christian needs a heart that stays pure. Now, everybody's got a heart, right? You got a heart? I mean, I'm guessing. I've never seen it, but I'm guessing you got a heart. So every Christian needs a heart that stays pure. And what we're trying to do with these classes is trying to divide them up basically into 4 sections to talk about, okay, what is that? Kind of define our terms. What are we even talking about when we say that? Why do we need it is number 2. How do we get it? How do we develop it is number 3. And then number 4 is what do I do if what happens if I don't have it? So that's kind of how we're trying to divide up these studies. So when you hear about a heart that stays pure, what does that mean to you? What does it mean? What is purity? What does that mean?
Unmixed.
Unmixed. Okay? Something's unmixed. What does that mean? What does it mean to be pure? What does it mean to have a heart that's pure? Heart that's not mixed. Okay? What else?
Undefiled.
Say again.
Undefiled.
Okay? What else? You hear about, when you hear about somebody, you know, that person, they've just got such a pure heart. What does that mean?
Clean.
Clean. Okay. Kind. Good.
Unwavering.
Good. Say again.
Honest.
Okay. Good. A lot of qualities. A lot of qualities come to mind. So let me flip it over then and ask this, and be clean in your answers. Okay. What would it mean to be impure? What is the opposite of clean and honest and kind and undefiled and unmixed? And what'd you say? You can't even remember either. Great, thanks a lot, Stephen. What's the opposite of that? Dirty, wicked, defiled,
corrupt,
rotten. Immoral. Okay, so you all are coming up with these words really easy. That's kind of scary. So, I mean, define purity, and that took a little bit, but you flip it over. All right, so we live in a world that's rather impure, would you say? Have you been exposed to any impurity this week? I mean, to ask the question is almost silly, right? It's impossible. Would you say it's almost impossible to not be exposed to it? How would you possibly not be exposed to impurity in our world today? What'd you say? If you're dead. Good point. Man, if you're dead, Caleb, you're on point tonight, man. I mean, if you're dead, no more impurities of this life. I mean, this guy's on target. What? All right, so how could you possibly not be exposed to impurity today? Don't leave your house, okay? That's a good start. Now, could you still be exposed to impurity if you, I'm going to take it a step further, if you're in your house? Wait a minute. Oh, I see. So I'll take Amber's comment a step further. So if you stay in your house, lock yourself in your closet, put away all electronic devices and hide your head in a pillowcase and sleep. I don't, some people, I don't know, Mary, some people might sleep and they're so hopefully not. But anyway, it's kind of hard to escape it, isn't it? So if it's hard to escape impurity in our world, does that mean that, well, this is just the way things are then, and we just should accept it? Okay. Does it have to be the way that things are? An immoral, vile world. Now, that's world, that's big. Take it down. An immoral, vile, corrupt school. Is that the way that it has to be where you go to school? An immoral, vile, corrupt workplace. Is that the way it has to be where you work? Immoral, vile, corrupt house, family, household. Is that the way it has to be? Could you have any impact on those surroundings, on those environments, on those groups? Hopefully. So we don't need to throw in a towel and say, well, this is just the way things are. Well, it's just the way they're going to be. No, not necessarily. Has our God ever lowered his standard? Has he ever said, well, all right, well, they're just going to be wicked and evil. I guess I'll just lower my standard then. He did that right before the flood, right? He was like, well, that's the way they're going to live. I'll live with it. Is that what God did?
No.
Yeah, that's not the way that it worked. God took care of the problem. So if God hasn't lowered his standard, let me ask you, should we lower ours?
No.
Just accept it?
No.
That is not a possibility for us. So, all right. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about purity of heart and what that means. All right. What is it? Okay. So it's a heart that is not impure. So it's a heart that is pure. What does that mean? And here's something I want us to get on this first point tonight. And that is, this is more than just how we act. It's more than just how we behave. Now, I need to live on the outside. I need to act. I need to behave. I need to have habits that are pure and honest and clean and all of those words that y'all used. But could I have it all together and look good on the outside and still not be good? Still not be right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's called hypocrisy.
It's called hypocrisy. Can I ask you, now, the world is looking at what? The outside. Our friends, our family, the people at school, people at work, they're looking at that because that's all they can see. So they're going to judge us based upon what they see on the outside. Where does God look? God's looking on the heart. God's looking on the inside. And so when Samuel went to Jesse's house and was looking for a king, was Samuel looking on the outside of individuals? I'm not talking outside Jesse's house. Was he looking on the, oh, look, here's the oldest, here's the next oldest. Okay, we'll work our way down. Where was God looking? Well, physically, God's looking out in the field, right? But God wasn't looking physically. Where was he looking? He was looking at a man after God's own. Because that's where God looks. So for us, we need to recognize we're not just talking about getting it right and living right. And what if? What if you could master your tongue? What if you could tame your tongue and you never said another bad word? No more bad words. What if? It would be awesome, wouldn't it? What if you could tame your tongue? You've mastered your tongue. No more bad words. No more lies. No more mean words. No more tones that's got that bite to the tone to it. And now your words are just pure. Now your words are just perfect. Okay? That'd be awesome, right? Great. But if that's not coming from your heart, if that's not the way you've trained your heart, guess what? Big deal. That's hard to say, right? Because what are we constantly trying to do? Tame our tongue. I want to tame my tongue. If I can just tame this tongue, I'll be really getting this Christianity thing going. Okay, good. But it's not just about the words. It's about the heart. And I'm jumping ahead to the how-to here, but you get the how-to, right? How can I better learn how to get the outside, get the physical things working for me? So, all right, let's think about this again. What does it mean to be pure? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. What does it say about our heart? Guard your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the, King James, New King James says, issues of life. What does that mean? Out of it flow the issues of life. Other translations might say, out of it flow the behaviors, the thoughts, the patterns of life. Where do our words start? They start in my heart. Before they ever come out of my mouth, they start in my heart, right? Go over to Matthew 15. Get your Bibles. Got your Bibles? Rod, Caleb, got your Bibles? Trevin, you got your Bible? All right, good. Matthew chapter 15. Look over at Matthew 15. And we're going to get to a verse just a little bit below this, but I want you to help me with the verse where Jesus says, these people, what do these people do? In Matthew 15, verse 8, these people draw near to me with their lips. They draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. What does that mean? They're drawing near with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. What's that? The outside. That's great, right? We just sang two songs here tonight. What were you doing? You were drawing near to God. What were you saying in the first song? Our God is an awesome God. Your mouth was saying that. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome that your mouth was saying our God is an awesome God. But what does Jesus say about these individuals? Yep, there's people who can draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. But what?
The heart's not right.
Yeah, but they're doing it right up here. So that's, they get half credit?
No.
Right, half? 40%? 30? You all aren't giving me anything here. No. He says their heart, is the heart close? Their words are right on, so their heart's got to be close behind, right? Does he use the word close? Their heart is F-A-R, from me. It's not anywhere close. It's far from me. So, that being said, drop down to verse 19. Verse 18. How far do we have? Look, verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from where? They come from the heart. You can't say anything that your brain and your heart didn't think first. Sometimes we talk about that filter between our brain. Anybody ever talked to you about the filter that's supposed to be between your brain and your tongue? You know that filter? That's supposed to stop that stuff from coming out, right? And then some people joke about, you know, that filter not being there. Well, what does this say? Nothing comes out of the heart that doesn't come from the mouth first. Verse 19. For out of the what? Heart proceed. Where do evil thoughts come from? Can you think something evil if it's not in your heart first? Can you say something evil if it's not in your heart first? It's impossible. It's got to be in your heart first. Out of your heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication. What do you mean? You won't do anything, any of these things, if it's not in your heart first. Verse 20, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a man. And that was the issue that they were trying to deal with, is they're so focused on the outside that Jesus says, you're not focused on where you really need to be, and that's on making sure your heart is pure. So, before we go on to the why this is important, go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I don't have this on the screen. So go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here's When you think about what does it mean to be have a pure heart, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 6, godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. Contentment, is that a condition of the heart? Yeah, that's a condition of the heart. Verse 9, those who desire to be rich. Is there a difference between desiring to be rich and actually being rich? Yeah, usually. Well, which one is a matter of the heart? The actually being rich or the desiring to be rich? Oh, the desire, that's what's in our heart. Verse 10, these aren't even the verses I wanted to look at, but we're getting to the verse I wanted to look at. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Is money bad? No. Is money evil? No. What's this talking about? This is a condition of the heart. And so the reason I'm looking at all of this is I want you to see that Paul is dealing with conditions of the heart all the way through this. So the verse I wanted to just look at now, verse 11. But you, O man of God, what's the first verb? Flee. Flee these things. These things that are going to corrupt your heart and lead you away from God. Flee these things. What does the word flee mean? Run away. Run away. All right. So I'm running away from that. And then he uses the word and. You got the word and in verse 11. What's the verb after the word and? Pursue. What'd you say? Follow. Same thing. All right. So did we talk about this recently in some lesson? So you're running away from something as fast as you can, but then you're running as fast as you can towards something else. You're running away from those things that are going to cause your heart to become evil in the sight of God, but then you are pursuing. You're chasing down what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. That's what God, when God thinks about a pure heart, when he says we need to focus on what's right and what's holy in the eyes of God, there's some things right there. So that's kind of the intro to this lesson, is just trying, what are we talking about? We talk about purity of heart, righteousness, godliness. That's part of it. Having a faith that is determined to do what's right in the eyes of God above everything else, that's part of it. Making sure that our heart is in tune more with God than with the evil of the world, that's a big part of it. So why is this so important? Help me out. That's the second point here. Why does every Christian need purity?
Don't have a life pleasing to God.
Okay. In order to have a life pleasing to God, you've got to have a heart of purity. What else?
Keeps you on the right path.
Keeps you on the right path. Good. Mm-hmm. Why does every Christian? I mean, we're saying every Christian needs a heart of purity. Why? The rewards? Okay, good.
Because God said so.
That's a good mom answer. Because God said so.
It reflects what's in you.
It reflects what's in you. That's a good elder answer. It reflects what's in you. So now it's beyond doing this for a mechanical reason, and it's now looking at a more deeper character reason. Why do I need to have a heart of purity? And you've mentioned some of these. Because where does sin start? And we saw this in Matthew 15. Sin, where does it start? Look in James chapter 1. You know these verses. But James chapter 1 is amazing that God tells us, here's how you sin. God doesn't hide this from us. God's going to tell us about how horrible sin is. And wouldn't it be nice if God just told us, okay, here's how horrible sin is. Here's how it develops. And he does, right? He gives us a whole picture here of how sin develops. James chapter 1, verse 13. Does God tempt us? What does verse 13 tell you? Does God tempt you?
No.
Nope. God does not tempt you. All right, so then where does it come? Verse 14. But instead of God tempting you, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his, what is the, do you have a word after his?
Own.
O-W-N. He's drawn away by his own desires. Can somebody else's desires tempt you?
They might.
You all might have the same desires. All right? I mean, how many people in here like Reese's peanut butter cups? How many people in here like donuts? How many people in here like ice cream? We're going to get a lot of similarities, right? But does that mean that your desires for ice cream are going to tempt me? Well, maybe. I don't know. It depends on what flavor ice cream you like. No, it's got to be your own desires. So what does this mean? You're getting yourself in trouble. This is leading to sin. Yes, you use the word choices there. This is leading somewhere, but it starts with me. Don't blame God. Oh, God, why'd this happen? No. Don't blame God. Now, okay, if you can't blame God, can you blame the devil? Is it the devil's fault when you sin?
Yeah, he made you do it.
All right, Flip Wilson. Did the devil make you do it?
No, you didn't.
You sorry. You did it. My basketball coach would call us sorry so-and-sos. That was so motivating. Way to go, coach. Sorry so-and-sos. We're running suicides up and down the court. Come on, you sorry so-and-sos. Well, that's what you are if you're blaming the devil. See, it's not, you can't blame the devil. Why? Because you fell for it. It's your own desires. Now, just because you're drawn away, keep reading. Are we going to finish this class tonight? Yikes. All right. Just because you're drawn away by your own desires, have you sinned yet? Nope. Not yet. So, your desires, what does that say? You got to keep them in check. This is what we're talking about, having a heart of holiness tonight. I've got to keep those in check. So I'm drawn away by my own desires and I'm enticed. Oh, okay. So I've got my desires and I'm trying to control those, but then I'm enticed. Where the devil's a really good fisherman, okay? And the devil's not like some of us where we just leave the hook visible. You ever go fishing and you leave the hook visible? I mean, I was taught when you go fishing, you got to hide the hook. I mean, because we got smart fish out there, you know, and they're not going to bite a hook. So you're hiding the hook. Well, that's what the devil does. He hides. That's what the word that's used here. It's bait. He's baiting us. Well, that's what a hook is. So he baits us. So your own desires, he's using your desires against you. He's enticing you. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived. Okay. We're not going to talk about where babies come from, but here's the idea. Something is being conceived here. What is your desires? What does that mean? You got your desires, but then the devil, he came in and he enticed you with your own desires and he brought that out and he conceived it. He put it together with his enticement. And then what does that lead to? Sin. Gives birth to sin. And sin, when it grows up, brings forth what?
Death.
What's the next four words in verse 16? Do not be deceived. Boy, we think we've got a handle on sin sometimes and temptation. So, I've got this all figured out. And God says, don't be deceived. So, you know what? I'm just going to put these up here because that'll force me. That'll force me to get to them. All right? So, why do I need a heart of holiness? Why do I need a heart of purity? One, because I won't do anything, I won't practice any sin unless I want to. So I got to control my want tos. All right? That's where that comes from. Number two, the heart determines your direction of life. As a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, what?
So is he.
Okay? Why do I need to develop a heart of purity? Because what does sin do in Isaiah 59 and verse 2? Yeah. Sin separates you from God. Got the words fellowship with God up here. Is fellowship something that's pretty special?
Yeah.
When we have fellowship with each other, is that something pretty special?
Yeah.
It's something that ought to be so special that when one of us is not walking the way that we ought to walk, what's the church supposed to take away from us? The F word on the screen. The good F word on the screen. when I'm not walking the way I should walk as a Christian, what's the church supposed to take away from me? Fellowship. That's how special fellowship is supposed to be. That when I'm not doing what I need to do as a Christian, the church would take that away from me. So what's more special than fellowship with you? That's fellowship with my God. And when my heart, when I don't have a heart that pursues righteousness and godliness and faith and love and holiness, then I don't have a heart that's in tune with my God and that's in fellowship with my God. What about this last thing on the screen? Look over in Psalm 24. Do me a favor. You're going to Psalm 24? Go to Psalm 15 and then go to Psalm 24. We'll take them in order here for a second. Go to Psalm 15, then Psalm, and it's going to say something very similar. Psalm 15, and I don't have Psalm 15 up there. Look at Psalm 15, first couple verses. Swiftly we're turning Bible pages. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Hebrew parallelism a little bit, but concept here is who can abide with God here on this earth temporarily? Who can dwell with God permanently? That's the end of the verse. In his holy hill, how do I have fellowship with God? And then he answers it, and he gives a number of things here, but I just want to look in verse 2. The person who walks uprightly, the person who works righteousness, and then this is the one I want to see at the end of verse 2. Who gets to dwell with God, according to the end of verse 2? The one who speaks the truth. Is that what your Bible says? But it doesn't stop there, right? Do I need to speak the truth? Two questions. Number one, do I need to speak the truth in order to be able to dwell with God? Yes. Is that what this verse says? Yes and no. I've got to speak the truth in my heart. Do you see, bring that back around to what we were saying earlier. I might speak the truth with my mouth because, you know, I got to tell the truth. But what about if my heart's like, I don't want to say this. They don't deserve to hear this. Then my heart's messed up. So in order for me to dwell with God, it's not just about what's on the outside. I've got to speak the truth. I've got to speak the truth on the inside. All right, come to Psalm 24. Real quick, so, and he's the question in verse 3 is going to sound very familiar. Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Psalm 24 and verse 4. The person who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Isn't that an interesting? All of that's interesting. He's not lifted up his soul to an idol. If somebody worships an idol, what are they typically doing? I mean, they've made this idol, then they're bowing down to this idol, and they're laying gifts at this idol. They're lighting candles and whatever they might do to this idol. But God's not talking about what they would do physically to this idol. Whoever lifts up his soul, I'm giving myself, I'm giving you my heart, I'm giving you my soul, and God says, You've got to have the right heart. All right. So that's what purity is. That's why we need it. All right. Third question. Help me out with this. How do we develop it? This is critical right here. How do we develop a heart of purity? Yes, sir.
Not looking or saying or doing bad things.
Good. Not looking at, saying, or doing bad things. Good. What else?
Studying the Bible.
How do you develop a heart of purity?
Pay attention to what you expose yourself to.
Yes. Pay attention to what you expose yourself to. Yes, sir.
Someone's trying to avoid them.
Okay.
Hopefully God will be with you.
Okay. So be careful who you're around. Be careful who you're listening to. What else?
Learn to be like Jesus.
Learn to be like Jesus. Say it again.
Being vigilant.
Good. And that's right at the beginning of 1 Peter 5, isn't it? 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, warning us about the devil. And that verse tells us to be sober, and to be, some translations say, be vigilant, or some translations say, be watchful. You go through life, if I'm going to have a heart of purity, I've got to keep my eyes open. I've got to be vigilant to things that are happening around me. So let me put these first two things up there, because you've mentioned these. You know what? We're just going to put all of it up here. All right, so did you mention all of these? Basically, you did. All right, so I want you to think about the first two together, okay? And this is what you said. Sam mentioned the first one, and basically the rest of you, a lot of you mentioned the second one. But I want you to see the first two as in tandem with each other. How do I guard my heart and to keep it pure? I've got to guard what's coming in. I've got to be careful what's coming in and put up a guard against things that don't need to come in. But then I do need to let other things in. You get the point? I've got to carefully keep certain things out of my heart and mind, but that doesn't mean I keep my heart and mind empty. I'm keeping these things away from it, but there's other things I need to fill it up with. All right, so let's talk about the first one, then we'll talk about the second one. I've got to guard what I allow into my mind, into my heart. Job 31. I hope all of the men in this church you've probably heard it, if not memorized, Job 31. Here's a man who lived, let's say, maybe 4,000 years ago, okay? Is 4,000 years a long time? Anybody feel 4,000 years old? 4,000 years seems like a long time. All right, so 4,000 years ago, there was an old guy, okay? And what did he say? I have made a covenant with my eyes. What a statement to make. Who would ever think about using those words? I've made a covenant. Have you ever talked to your eyes? Did you ever write out a contract with your eyes? Okay, buddy, here's what you're going to do, Mr. Eyes. And you write out he's making a covenant. And he signs this covenant down at the bottom. I've made a covenant with my eyes that what? What was this covenant that he made with his eyes? You know the verse? Okay. That he would not do what? Y'all got the verse open? I will not look upon what? Young woman. I've made a covenant with my eyes. And I'm going to control where my eyes look. Can you believe somebody 4,000 years ago said something like that? Before the internet ever came along? Before we ever had these devices that we could just pick up and pull up anything that we wanted? That somebody 4,000 years ago was trying... Remember, what did God say about this guy named Job? Was he an okay guy?
Yeah.
Is he pretty decent?
Yeah.
More than that, I don't have anybody like him. Can you imagine God bragging about you to the devil? Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, God's having a conversation with the devil, and he brags about you to the devil. That's what God does about Job in Job chapter 1. And so this man that God's bragging about says, I've made a covenant. I've made a determination with my eyes. I'm not going to look at certain people. And Psalm 101 and verse 3, where David says, I'm not going to look upon anything. I'm not going to put anything wicked before my eyes. Somebody says, well, that's impossible. Why? Why? We're not talking about if something wicked walks before your eyes. Well, you can't control something necessarily just walks glancingly in front of your eyes. But will you knowingly and purposefully and desiring put something wicked before your eyes? If I'm going to have a pure heart, I've got to guard and stop things before they ever come in. Number one, 5 minutes. Okay. Then... once I've stopped those, and this is simultaneous, when I'm stopping those things, what's the other thing I need to be doing? I've got to fill up my heart. I've got to fill it up with what? Good stuff. Good stuff. If you, and I've used this illustration sometimes teaching the teens, but it's been a while. If you have a brand new, not an old pitcher, because that gets all scuff marks on it, but a brand new clear pitcher, and you fill it up with crystal clear water, all right? You got the picture in your head? Crystal clear water has just been put in this brand new clear picture. What does it look like?
Clean.
Man, that's clean. I mean, it doesn't get any cleaner than that, right? Y'all know food coloring, right? You got all the food, you know food coloring? It just makes food colored, all right? So you take a drop of red food coloring, one drop in there. What happens to what was just so pure and clean looking?
It gets diluted.
What if I drop another one, put another drop in there?
Huh? Color.
Say it again.
It gets dark.
All right, so it's not clean anymore. Now, what if I just drop the whole bottle in there? All right, yeah. So here's the question. I've done some things to that water. It's not clean anymore. Can it ever get clean again? That's my question to you.
Only if you filter it.
You got to filter it? What kind of filter? What kind of filter? Like reverse osmosis kind of filter? I mean, what kind of filter are we talking about? I don't know, I'm just messing with you. All right, so what do you got to do?
Bleach
it. Bleach it. So I've got to bleach this, right? So what would happen if I take another pitcher of clean water and I just start pouring it in?
It'll be getting diluted.
And then I pour some more in. And then I pour some more in. And then I pour some more in. See, can I go through life and have a clean, pure heart all of the time? Sometimes my heart's going to have that little red drop come into it. But what do I need? Well, the bottom line on the screen says I need to come back to this book. And I need to fill it up with this book. Now, the second line is different than the fourth line on the screen, okay? In my mind, the second line on the screen is not about the Bible. I know the Bible talks about things that are pure and right. But can you fill your life with things that are pure and right that are not just Bible verses? What is that? What would things that are pure and right? God, Paul says, think on these things. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are true. What are those things that are not, if they're not Bible verses?
They're sin.
Okay. Do I need to control who I'm around?
Sure.
Do I need to control what kind of music I listen to?
Yeah.
What if I listen to in the car, whatever. What if I listen to church hymns? Would that be different than listening to, I don't know. Sorry, I'm going to say Taylor Swift because that's who came to mind. But anyway, I mean, is that different? I know, I just made some of you very unhappy. All right, but is that different? I'm filling my heart with something different. And that's what I need. I need that constant. All right, Merritt, I need that constant filtering process that's going to keep my heart clean and pure. And what do I do with temptation? How close do I get?
You don't get close. You run the other way.
Do I flirt with it, play with it? I can't afford that. All right, are you going to flirt with the devil? You think the devil's cute?
No.
You going to tell him he's got nice hair today? Don't even get... Don't give him, what is Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4 talks about our relationship, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And the Bible talks about the fact that I don't need to give the devil an opportunity. In order to keep my heart pure, I've got to make sure the devil's not getting an opportunity with me. All right, as we close up, what else you want to add? We're trying to talk about four things every Christian needs. Every Christian needs a heart of purity. How do I get it? Don't listen to the bell. Don't worry about the bell. All right? How do I get it? How do I maintain it? Anything else you want to add?
Need the strength to defend yourself.
Need the strength to defend yourself. Where does that strength come from? Yourself?
God.
What'd you say?
Maintain it by not doing the wrong things, and you know what the wrong things are, so you can stop me.
All right. Know the wrong things, see the wrong things coming. Caleb says, stay away from them. Good way to stop the class. All right. Thank you all very much for being here tonight.